preaching in this church this year. I have been preaching here for 10 years, but this year is the first time I'll be preaching, and so I'm excited to preach to you. I'm going to preach a message along our theme, and I will be preaching along the theme for quite a while. And so we're going to talk about purpose, our purpose. And in Ephesians chapter 3, we actually read a prayer. And I'll tell you a little bit about the book of Ephesians here in just a second. But it's a prayer that Paul prays for the church at Ephesus, and it is a prayer for purpose, that they would live their lives with a purpose. And we're going to see the purpose for which he prays they would live their lives. And I hope that my prayer for us as a church is that we would live our lives with that same purpose. And so we'll be in Ephesians chapter number 3. The prayer begins in verse 13. It continues down through the end of the chapter. Here's what it says. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. I do pray, God, that you would bless our church as we seek to live with purpose, to do what we do with purpose, to have a reason, a cause for why we do what we do. And help that reason and that cause to be built solely on your word and on your will for us. Help us not to be distracted with the things of this world, with the traditions of man, but to do exactly and only what you would have us to do. I pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts this morning. I pray that you'd help us as we seek to make a difference for you in this world, specifically in our community. I pray that you bless this message, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So as you are seated this morning, we are going to do a little bit of an exercise as we begin. No, it's not that kind of exercise. I know it's the beginning of the year, and we're all thinking, man, I need to get in shape. Forget it. It's already January 21st. The resolutions are gone, and it's fine. We're back to the way things were. But I do have a little bit of an exercise for you this morning, and I want to put this up on the screen here, and I got to get this up here. But I have a little bit of an exercise here, and I have two circles, a red one, and the other one is blue. And this is a test to test your perception. All right? Can everybody see the two circles? Yes. Overflow, you got it? They can't see anything. There's no TV. So next week, guys, next week we'll have a TV out there for you that works. Now, one of them is bigger than the other one. Can everybody see that? I want you to take a minute to really look at it. And here's the test. Who thinks the red one is bigger? You can tell the red one's definitely bigger. Definitely? All right. How about the blue one? More? All right. Some of you aren't voting, so maybe you think you're in the overflow. The reality is, as you know, some of you kind of get this, they're both the exact same size. I know. Barry, you voted too, buddy. I feel bad for you. Now, it's interesting. I was like, man, how can I phrase this without actually telling a lie in church? And I said, you know what? God will forgive me. But the reality is they are the exact same size. But it's interesting how when we perceive that there's a difference, because I told you there's a difference, we pick a side. Oh, yeah, it's red. It wasn't red, guys. Ah, it's blue. It wasn't blue. They're the exact same size. This happens oftentimes in our culture as well. When we think and we perceive that there is a difference, we're often forced to pick a side, to pick one or the other as being better or more significant than another one. And we see this all throughout our world, and we see this happening throughout our world. And again, sometimes we'll find that people will say, well, this particular race is a better race. And we understand from the Bible that there is no difference between skin colors. There really isn't. We're all of one blood. If made of all nations, one blood. And that really the only difference in skin is simply pigmentation in our DNA. And it's a minute difference. Terribly small. And yet from that, we have all kinds of division, don't we? It's amazing how our world works. It's happened in different areas of life as well. It happens all over our world. And recently, I came face to face with this dynamic when we started to consider adjusting or changing our discipleship process for how we make disciples in our church. And I was going to break from what I had done traditionally for all of my life in ministry. I've been pastoring now for 12 years at this church for 10, and I'm just going to break from what I've always done. And there was this tendency to pick a side, choose, to make a difference between the two. Oftentimes we fall into habits, and habits aren't necessarily a bad thing. I mentioned at the very beginning that this is the beginning of the new year, and it is. I love the idea of resolutions. I think they're good. I don't think we should always be the same person we've always been. I think we should grow. I think we should improve. I think if you should read more Bible this year than you did last year. I think we should eat healthier this year than we did last year. There's always room for growth. There's always room for improvement. I think we should maybe exercise more this year than we did last year. I think we should try to be more faithful to the things of God this year than we were last year. I'm a huge believer in all of that. I think resolutions are good. I don't even think you should have New Year's resolutions. I think you should have new month resolutions. I think you should have new week resolutions. I think you should have new day resolutions. That was yesterday. This is today. Let's move on. Let's do things for the cause of Christ. It's a new day. I believe in that. I'm a big believer in that. You messed up yesterday. You failed. So what? It's a new day. Do right today. Otherwise, you get caught up in, well, I can't because of what I did in the past. And your past will dominate your present. It'll ruin your future. And so you have to forget those things which are behind, both good and bad sometimes, and press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so with that, we have this idea of doing what we do with purpose. Finding and living for our purpose can bring a lot of clarity to why we do what we do. It does. And so we want to have a life of purpose and with purpose, and we want to do what God wants us to do. It's true. There are times in these New Year's resolutions when we're maybe exercising and you're running a couple miles and you're like, why am I doing this? This is terrible. My heart rate's up. My face is flushed. I can't get enough oxygen into my body. Why am I doing this to myself? And then you look down. Oh, yeah, that's why. Okay, keep going. You know, that's what it's all about. There's a purpose to why you're doing what you're doing. But if there was no purpose for it, this is ridiculous. Doesn't make any sense. Even the foods that we eat, I made a couple resolutions, and it took me a while to get on them because it took me a while to get back to Kauai in the new year. But the reality was once I got back, I kind of got back into my routine, and I started eating differently. And honestly, why our world is like this, it has to be because of sin. But the best foods for you taste the worst. They do. I mean, honestly, it's terrible. I mean, why? I mean, and that's how I know that sin and the account of Adam and Eve is true. It's real. Because if it was that there was no God and we were just evolving, donuts would be good for you. It's the way it would work. No, for real, hamburgers and all of that, the big juicy ones, they would be good for you. But because of sin and the curse, good food is not necessarily the best tasting food. And when I'm eating this food again, I'm like, why am I doing this? Oh, yeah, that's why, you know? And you remind yourself of the purpose for why you're doing it. And sometimes in the Christian life, although I find great joy in walking with God, in loving God, I have, this last week of the growth groups that we've had, I enjoyed it immensely. There was so much, I had joy in each meeting. I loved it. And in serving others, you can find so much joy in that. But there are times when it becomes difficult. And I'm not here to tell you that the Christian life is all just it's a wonderful, it is a wonderful thing. It's an abundant life. But there are times of trial. There are times in difficult. There are times that you have difficulty seeing the purpose for it all. Because it's tough. You know, it's hard not to render evil for evil. You know, to get back. Because that's what you think, that would really make me feel good, God, if I could repay. But the Bible says, but counterwise, instead, give blessing. And that oftentimes is a difficult thing to do, but there is a purpose for it. There's a reason. And so we have to always come back to the reason for why we do what we do. And again, we find that reason not in tradition, although there's great traditions. But the reason for why we do what we do is not found in tradition. The reason for why we do what we do is found in the Word of God. God tells us why we should do what we do. And oftentimes, if we do something that we can't find a purpose for in God's Word, it becomes vain and a distraction. And oftentimes, it becomes what we call an anti-gospel. Meaning when the world sees it, they're not drawn to Christ. They're actually pushed away from him. And so it's important that we do what we do based on what the Word of God tells us. So in our text, Ephesians chapter 3, we find some amazing instructions. Again, Ephesians is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. And it's important that we understand some of the background here. Ephesus was a very big and prosperous harbor city in Asia Minor. So it's much like here. Now, Willy Willy is a harbor town. There's a harbor right here. And in and out of that harbor comes lots of stuff. Tourists on cruise ships, lots of cruise ships. But there's also lots of barges that come in and out as well. And there's mats and containers and things that come in, and they're carrying all of our food, for the most part. They're carrying all of our supplies. Everything comes in and out of that port. And because of that, typically, especially in ancient cities, those cities would become very wealthy because of that. They were the port. You had to go through them. That's where they came from. And so this harbor had long been filled up and unusable, and so the famous Silk Road from Asia ended at this point. And the church at Ephesus also lived in a community that we're going to talk about this a little bit later, that lived in a community that cherished their prized idol. And this prized goddess, Diana. And they actually built a temple to her that they were really excited about. It was what they liked to talk about. It was the prize of their city. It was the crown of their city, if you will. They loved it. And in that city, there's a church that followed and worshiped Jesus Christ. Now, the book of Ephesians has two main parts. Chapters 1 through 3 expound on the gospel. Isn't the gospel a good thing? It's an amazing thing. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ came, he lived perfect life without sin. He died on the cross without any reason for himself to die. But the reason was for us. Again, we talk about purpose. Why would an innocent man lay down his life? Well, for you. You were that purpose. You were that reason. God in the flesh gave his life on the cross for you. And then 3 days later, he rose again. That's the gospel. It's an amazing thing. And so Paul is expounding to the Ephesians the gospel in chapters 1 through 3. And then in chapters 4 through 6, he provides a clear picture on how the gospel then changes our lives. It's an amazing book. It's an important book. I'm glad we have it in the Bible. But he ends the first part of explaining the gospel to them, expounding on the gospel and what it is and what it reaches, with a prayer for this church at Ephesus. It's a prayer for growth. It's a prayer for, again, a reminder for their purpose. So we want to look at that prayer this morning. The first part of the prayer, if you will, is a request, a desire that they would be rooted and grounded in love. And we read of it here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And so he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Lord of our Father Jesus Christ. So here comes the prayer. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. So the first part of this is that Paul says, hey, my prayer for you, my prayer for purpose, is that you know and be rooted and grounded in God's love. And we've talked about this. We started in our growth groups talking about God's love. Love God is where we're starting with our purpose. It's important. You know, and there's a few things that when it comes to our purpose, I said, can you say of a Christian that you can both be a Christian and not love God? No. You would cease to be a Christian if you do not love God. A Christian is a little Christ, the follower of Christ, right? So you have to love, that's one of the chief duties of a Christian is to love God. And it's not really a duty, it's a delight. We love him because he first loved us. To be rooted and grounded in his love is to understand what he did for us. Now the temple of Diana was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Philon of Byzantium wrote, I have seen the walls and hanging gardens of ancient Babylon, the statue of the Olympian Zeus, the Colossus of Rhodes, the mighty work of the high pyramids, and the tomb of Mausolus. But when I saw the temple at Ephesus rising to the clouds, all these other wonders were put in the shade. It's been recorded that the length of this temple was 425 feet. The width was 225 feet. It had 127 columns, 60 feet in height. It supported the roof. And in comparison, the Parthenon that stands today at the Acropolis in Athens is only 230 feet long, 100 feet wide, and had 58 columns. So it's much bigger. And it took, to build the Temple of Diana, it took 120 years to build. I know we got our building project going right now, and we've been given to that, and they're like, man, I hope that we get done before 120 years. I'm hoping in the next 12 months. These guys are 120 years to build this thing. It's an incredible structure. And with the comparison here that Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, hey, you guys have a structure there in your city that most of the people in that city adore. They're very proud of it. It's bigger than the Parthenon. It's bigger than all these. It's greater than the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. It's fantastic. It has 60 columns. It has 127 columns, 60 feet in height. 60 feet. It's magnificent. And he says, that's an amazing structure. And they always talked about what was the breadth of their temple. They talked about the length of their temple. They talked about the depth of their temple. They talked about the height of their temple. It was their crown. It was their crown glory. And Paul says, hey, I want you to know what is the breadth, length, depth, and height of the love of God. Because that is far superior than anything that man could ever make. I want you to know and be rooted and grounded in that love. And says, I don't want you just to comprehend it. I want you to know it. I want you to experience it. I want you to know the love of God. There's a deep relationship that's available to you. You cannot know it on your own. The Bible says it passeth knowledge. We'll see that in just a second. It passeth knowledge, the love of God. So the question for us this morning as we begin 2018, as we start to say, hey, we want to live for God. I want to grow spiritually for God in 2018. Do you know the love of God? It's where it all begins. The love of God. How rich and pure, how measureless and full. It shall forevermore endure, the love of God. We talk about that. Yes, that's where this whole thing begins for a Christian. If you don't know the love of God, nothing else matters. It has to start there. And so Paul's prayer for purpose in the book of Ephesians for the church at Ephesus is that they know and be rooted and grounded in the love of God. You have to know it. And again, we cannot begin to love God until we know that He first loved us. So to know the love of God, the second prayer is, again, for us, I'm using the word grow together because it's part of our theme, but to grow together in our comprehension of God. Again, verse 18 of chapter 3 of Ephesians, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So he says, hey, I am praying that you would be able to comprehend, which means to grasp mentally. So there's some things that we need to comprehend as a Christian. So yes, to know the love of God, but now we need to grasp mentally what is the breadth, length, depth, and height of the love of God, which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. This prayer is for growth in knowledge and understanding. Now, even though the relationship with God passeth knowledge, it's important that you grow in your knowledge as well. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. God wants us to grow. And I might even say, again, you can be a Christian and not grow spiritually because of something wrong in your heart, backslidden perhaps. But that's not the ideal for a Christian. The ideal for a Christian is that, yes, we love God and we're growing spiritually. Again, I mentioned that if you're not prepared to grow more in 2018 than you did in 2017, we need to make some resolutions. We need to make some changes. We need to make some decisions this morning that says, hey, I want to grow spiritually more than I did in the past. One of the great tragedies for me as a pastor is to hear people talk about the glory days of their personal walk with God. Oh, back in that day when I was serving God, I was living for God, it was great days. What about today? What about now? What about 2018? By the way, if we're not growing like we should be in 2018 as compared to some point in the past, it all goes back to this idea of loving God. A lot of times we try to point to others. Oh, well, so-and-so, and they did that, that church, this, that. It's your relationship with God. Nothing else. That's it. And somewhere, some way, we stop walking with Him. We stop talking to Him like we should. We stop obeying Him. And we need to get back to that. It all comes back to the love for God. That's why it's the first thing, love God. What's the first commandment, Jesus? Hey, Jesus, they're trying to trip Him up. These Pharisees, and we're going to get Him here. We have all these commandments, over 600 commandments. We're going to get Him here. What's the first one, Jesus? What's the best one, Jesus? Love God. Love God. With all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. That's the first commandment. Well, it's not hard to argue. It's impossible to argue. There is no other commandment. It's love God. And growing together has everything to do with our love for God. One of the biggest unknowns for me when we were talking about doing some of these changes was this idea of taking our Wednesday night and moving it to what we call growth groups. And we'll explain those a little bit in a second. These growth groups where we meet in Kapa'a, where we meet in Wailua, where we meet in Lihue, where we meet all over the island. For the teens, they meet over at the Ali's house. And I was like, you know, this is scary for me because I've never done this before. And for me, it's hard because I'm losing control. I'm not a control freak, but I like to know that things are going to work out well, especially in ministries that I pastor, right? I'm like, this is going to go crazy. I don't like that. I like to know it's going to be good. And honestly, it's only been 1 week, so we only have a little bit of a sample size here, but I've been so blessed by them. And I'm happy to see what I've seen so far. I believe each group, even last week, has grown in their knowledge of God and their love for God. I always tell people I pastor an amazing church, and I do. And it's blessed. And you don't want to get into the comparison game, but I have an amazing church that I am a part of. I'm blessed to be here. And what makes it amazing is not its building or its parking. It's its people. And the people of this church are on full display in the growth groups. And it's amazing because you get to hear their stories. You get to hear what God's doing in their heart. I never got that before. I never got to hear how God was moving each and every week. And He is. And it's been fantastic. Again, we're only 1 week. It could go off track tomorrow. But the thing is I don't think it will, because I think we're doing the purpose that God has for us. And I couldn't be more thrilled with our growth groups. I really do. They're amazing. I love them. And I really want to encourage you, if you're part of Quiet Baptist Church, to find your growth group and be there this week. This week is a fantastic subject. It'll help you spiritually. It really will. I've already seen it, so I got a little bit of a preview. It's helped me already. I actually used it in the service today, and I think it helped. It'll help you too. So find your growth group. And then there's a third thing of prayer for purpose here, and it was a prayer of really understanding of God's power in us to serve others. Now we begin in verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. There's a phrase here, worketh in us. That word worketh means to be active and efficient. It carries the idea of an effectual, fervent working. So here's the process of the purpose. We love God, and loving God creates in us a desire to grow in Him, to grow together. And when we love God and we grow together, that naturally works in us. His word naturally works in us to want to serve others. It's just a byproduct to serve others. And this is all done by the power of God. That works in us. It's an amazing process. When you love God and you grow in your comprehension of God, He will enable you to serve others through His power that works in you. What's amazing about this is that God wants to accomplish something through you and your service that's exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, oftentimes we say, yeah, God, do that. I want to see that. And the reality is, it's actually through you. What? Yeah, He wants to use you to do it. That's what's amazing about this thing. We talked about in our Luhui growth group, we talked about the love of God as we did in the other growth groups, and it was really pointed on that day how God uses people to demonstrate His love. I mean, you can see the heavens declare the glory of God. There's no doubt about that. You can see His handiwork in creation. There's no doubt about that. But to experience the love of God, it often happens through one of His people, a Christian, who lets the love of God flow through him, who's a vessel that God uses to spread His love. It's an amazing thing. And I'm here to tell you today that God wants to do that through you. And at this point, we're saying, well, not me. You, Pastor, you do it. And I hope to be that person. I do. But no, He says, I want to use you to do it. Just love me. Grow together, and let me use you. Let me use you to serve others. Paul has just prayed that the Ephesians would be filled up with the fullness of God. It's a prayer that they would be completely complete spiritually. I want you to be complete as a Christian. And you can't go any higher than being filled with the fullness of God. I mean, that's it. Once you, that's it. And that's something that we have difficulty getting to, because we have this thing called the flesh that battles us. And there's a daily battle. And it's tough to surrender to Him. But that's the goal. And this is an amazing thing. Paul adds that in case you think it's too much to ask of God to fill His saints with all of His fullness, remember that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So before you say, well, it's not possible, well, I don't think God can use me, wait a minute. Yes, He can. And this is the prayer that He wants the church at Ephesus, and I want our church to understand. God's power working in you as you love Him, as you grow in Him, enables you to serve Him. And oftentimes we stand back and say, what could I do for God? And that's really the wrong question to ask. It's what can God do through me? And the answer to that is beyond what you could ask or think. It's not about what I do for God. It's about what God does through me. And we stand back and say, I'm weak, and I have bad thoughts, and I'm broken, and I have a sin problem, and God knows all about that. He does. And that's what the gospel is all about. That's why we need to understand, yes, He knows that. You are a sinner. And you can't lie to God, right? And we can, we can try to fool people here and there. You know, I'm a pretty good person, but the bottom line is, we're sinners. And He knows that. Didn't shock him. Oh, no. They're sinners. Plan B. No, you are. You're it. He's going to use a sinner. He's going to help you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to equip you. Just love Him. Just grow. Be determined to grow. Study His word. And then what you learn, do. And let him work through you. It's an amazing thing. God loves you. God forgives you. And he works in and through you so that you might serve others. And that's the process. It loves God, grow together, and serve others. It's what being filled with the fullness of God is all about. It's our purpose. It's our purpose for life. It's our purpose for our church. It's your purpose. Just love God. Grow together. And then let him work through you. Serve others. There's a man who was a missionary. His name was David Livingston. You may have heard his name. If you haven't, I encourage you to Google him. He was a pioneer missionary to Africa. Now, this is pretty incredible. He walked over 29,000 miles in his missionary work. Walked in Africa. Oftentimes, he would start out carrying large bundles of books. And while he was carrying these large bundles of books, he began to do what we do when we have to do heavy, strenuous things. Why am I doing this? This book, I don't need it. This book, nope. This book, nope. Until he came down to one, his Bible. He needed that one. He walked 29,000 miles. He lost his wife to death early in his ministry. What's amazing about all this is he faced stiff opposition from his brethren in Scotland. They fought him on what he was trying to do in Africa. I was reading in the Bible this week in the Gospel of John, and I read this story about how Jesus goes to the pool of Bethesda. It's an amazing story. He finds a man there who's lame. He asks him, hey, what's going on here? He says, well, I don't have anybody to drop me in the water when the angels stir the water. And Jesus said, you know, take up thy bed and walk. And everybody gets mad at this man for walking, carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. And then they get mad at Jesus for healing him. And I'm reading that going, what in the world? Like, what? What is that? And oftentimes our traditions, our ideas, our perspective keeps us from seeing God do a great work. And celebrating for what it is, the work of God. An amazing miracle. And that's what David Livingston did. But he had a prayer that he prayed. He prayed, send me anywhere. Only go with me. He said, lay any burden on me. Only sustain me. Sever any ties, but tie the bind. The tie that binds me to your service and to your heart. And for us as a church, send me anywhere. Only go with me. You know, God, lay any burden on me. Only sustain me. Sever any ties but the tie that binds me to your service and to your heart. I love you. You're the preeminent person in my life. I want to know more about you. And I want to ultimately tell others about you. And that's our purpose. And I hope that we as a church in 2018 are determined to fulfill it. Because when we do, we'll see amazing things happen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. God, I do pray and I ask that you would help us to fulfill your purpose, to love you. That's the first commandment. And then to grow in our knowledge of you, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you help us then to serve others, to go into all the world, to preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then we receive the promise, and lo, I am with you always, even in the end of the world. So God, help us to fulfill your purpose for us. Thank you for this time. Help us not to be weary in well-doing, but to reap, because we fainted not, because we focused on your love, on your word, with your people, and on your mission for us. I pray now that you bless this time of invitation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.